Hello, Dick.
How are we doing, boys?
Yeah, really well, thank you. The big story, no doubt, to come out of the weekend or week two of the NFL was the devastating injury to San Francisco 49ers quarterback Trey Lance. But let's be honest, Dick, they now have a better chance. As unfortunate it is for Trey Lance, with Jimmy Garoppolo still on that roster, they have a better chance to win the Super Bowl now than they did. Would you agree?
100%, guys. And I was watching that game, obviously, every play because it was against my beloved Seahawks. And when Trey Lance was in there, I had a feeling like the Seahawks had a reasonable chance to stay in the game and win that game, despite it being at San Francisco. As soon as Trey Lance went down, I looked at my son, he looked at me, and we both said, "We're cooked." and indeed we were cooked. And it wasn't, you know, Jimmy G is never going to come in and just light the world on fire. That's not how he does it. But as he eloquently stated after the game in his press conference, he said, "You know, we do a pretty good job of winning when I'm playing quarterback here. I'm not about the numbers. I'm not about the flash. I'm about getting the job done and getting the W." And the results speak for themselves. I mean, Kyle Shanahan, the coach, wins at about a 70% clip when Jimmy G's the starting quarterback, and he wins at about a 30% clip when anybody else is the starting quarterback. So that's all you got to know about their chances. And you know, they're still in that 18 to 20 range for a Super Bowl. You know, I would have never put any money on him for a Super Bowl future with Trey Lance, but it doesn't look like the odds have moved that much. I'd put a shekel or two because the NFC is wide, wide open, as you guys were just talking about in the last segment. And San Francisco's as good as just about anybody, particularly when they play their game. And that's the grind it out, pound it on the ground football that we saw this Sunday. That's what they're best at, and they can beat just about everybody playing that way.
Dick, what's Tom Brady got up to for the fans to be fuming at him?
Tom Brady, honestly, guys, acted like a six-year-old in that game against the Saints. I mean, obviously, the Saints have been, you know, thrown Tom Brady curveball after curveball the last four outings. They were 4-0 against Tom Brady going into this rivalry game. Brady's offense was completely shut down through three quarters. And then you had the tempers were, you saw it in the first three quarters, you know, Tom Brady taking his Surface tablet, smashing it on the ground on the sidelines. You saw him screaming at his players. I mean, it's a different looking Tom Brady, guys. And I'm not just talking about his play. I'm talking about his attitude as well. And, you know, we don't like to speculate on personal matters, but I don't know how you can't look at how Tom Brady is playing and how Tom Brady is acting on the field and not infer that his personal issues right now are affecting him negatively on the football field. Now, they were able to come through with a win, but that was really more of what Jameis Winston did as the quarterback of the Saints versus what Tom Brady did. I mean, Jameis Winston just handed the ball over Tampa Bay three times in the fourth quarter. He was absolutely horrible. So just about any quarterback with Jameis Winston throwing you the ball every play is going to be able to win that football game. So, you know, Tampa's got to get things squared away, and they've got Mike Evans suspended due to that scuffle. He came in and walked to the sidelines, then turned right around and smashed Marshawn Lattimore in the back and knocked him down. So he's suspended for a game. Things are just not right in Tampa right now, despite them being undefeated.
Dick, tell me, how did Cleveland lose?
Oh, my gosh. So many different ways.
What should they have done?
Well, you know, when we were growing up, it was always like score points, score points. If you have an opportunity to score, you score the touchdown. And things have changed in the era of analytics where just possessing the ball and not scoring can be more effective to winning the game than actually scoring. And so you had an opportunity there for Nick Chubb to just to fall on the ball and clock, you know, take more clock off, and instead he went into the end zone, gave him a two-touchdown lead. Well, the Jets came back, scored a touchdown, kicked an onside kick, scored another touchdown, and ended up winning the game. So Cleveland really did mismanage the timing, the clock on that game. They never saw the ball after that, after Nick Chubb's touchdown. It was amazing, and it was just kind of the way week two went. I mean, I was telling Jono off air, you know, week one was just such an exciting week where lots of games were close all the way through. Week two was boring until the fourth quarters of these games. I mean, the Browns game was amazing in the fourth quarter. You had the Arizona Raiders game with Kyler Murray, I mean, that game was over with 8-9 minutes left to go in the game. And Kyler Murray with some miraculous plays, pulling a defeat, pulling a victory out of the jaws of defeat. So there were quite a few games this weekend that just, I was sitting there, I was on my treadmill, sweating and watching these games for an hour. And I'm like, God, I'm not getting entertained at all. And then all of a sudden, they all got great all at once.
Well, there are two hype trains. One's at Miami, $23 to win the Super Bowl, and Philadelphia into fourth favorite at $13. That Miami win was incredible against Baltimore.
Another one. I totally forgot about naming that one. Another game where, the Dolphins outscored the Ravens 28-3. And, sometimes when you get up so much in any sport, right, there's just that natural reaction to exhale, right? You get up by a couple of scores, or in Baltimore's case, you get up three scores. Well, a football team's not going to come back from three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That doesn't happen, right? So you kind of exhale. You say, all right, I'm going to look forward to what I'm doing after the game. Maybe I'm going to go out for dinner. Maybe I'm going to get a drink. I'm going to hang out with my family. And then all of a sudden that, that three-score lead turns to two scores, turn to one score, and then you can't rev the engine back up again. And that's what happened to Baltimore. I still think Baltimore is a better team than Miami without question. But, hey, hand it to Miami. They didn't give up. Tua was magnificent. I'm still not a big Tua believer. I think that game was more Tyreek Hill getting open by like 8 yards downfield than it was actually Tua playing awesome. But Tua did have a really, really nice ball that I recall into the, kind of into the middle of traffic in the middle of the end zone. That was really a spectacular throw by Tua. So it wasn't all just, Hail Mary balls to a wide open Tyreek Hill. But, Miami's a playoff caliber team. I wouldn't put any money on them to win the Super Bowl. Philadelphia, on the other hand, they have looked the part, guys, and we talked about that at the beginning of the season. I was like, all right, do I bet Philly to win the East, or do I bet Dallas to win the East? And we kind of just barely went to the Philly side. Well, I'm glad we went to the Philly side, because it does look like they're definitely the favorites in that division. And the way Jalen Hurts is playing, he's kind of an outsider MVP candidate, and they are definitely a team to be reckoned with in the NFC this year.
Are there a couple of quarterbacks already under pressure, Dick? We've got a text message here from one of our listeners. Is Ryan Tannehill under pressure after getting dragged or hooked yesterday, Malik Willis? And what about at the Steelers with Trubisky, the crowd booing him and wanting Kenny Pickett to play? How much pressure is he under as well to keep his starting spot?
I think he's probably under more pressure than Tannehill, because you got to look at the track record. I mean, Ryan Tannehill has consistently orchestrated an offense that's not a high-flying offense, but it's a winning offense. And they have consistently gone to the playoffs. They've consistently won 9-10 games a season and been very, very good. They rely on Derrick Henry first, and when Derrick Henry is not operational, and like he wasn't last night, I mean, he was just totally shut down. Ryan Tannehill's not good enough to just air it out. And they don't have weapons on the outside either. It's not just Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they don't have any wide receivers there that compare favorably to just about any other team in the NFL. So I think that he is much more safe than Trubisky is. I mean, the Steeler fans demand wins. And also, remember, Kenny Pickett is from Pittsburgh. He played his college football at Pittsburgh. So they're very familiar with him. He's the guy all Steeler fans wanted to draft. They drafted him. So he's, everybody's favorite guy is the backup quarterback, right? Especially if that backup quarterback's a rookie and he's from your town. So, but I think if they lose, if they end up going, 2-3-1, 3-5-1 over the first half of the season, first third of the season, you may see a change at quarterback there and going to Kenny Pickett.
Now, we're going to get your best NFL bet before you go. And we're going to do this each week off you through the season as well, Dick, I've decided. But just want to talk some golf quickly ahead of the President's Cup, of course, this week. And we saw Cam Smith win on the LIV Tour last week in Chicago. And a question here from Bizet Newey on the text line. Morning, boys. Asked Dick his thoughts on the pettiness of the PGA banning the players from playing President's Cup. It's lost all relevance now. Another bizarre week in golf ahead.
It is, and unfortunately, I think it's going to be very, very poorly followed here in the States. I mean, the Ryder Cup is always followed more than the President's Cup, but I just think because of this spat between the LIV and the PGA Tour, and you just don't have all the best players in the world playing in this President's Cup, I think most American sports fans are just going to say, forget about it. I mean, I'm usually excited to watch the President's Cup, and I'm just kind of lukewarm. I'm definitely going to be watching football far more than I'm going to be watching golf this weekend. And, you know, it's interesting. Greg Norman is in Congress this week. He is actually speaking to Congress, you know, complaining about the PGA's unfair practices. And so it'll be interesting to see what kind of ear the United States Congress gives to Greg Norman, and seeing if they can, you know, they can open up things a little bit and regulate things a little more and take some of the power away from the PGA Tour. That'll be an interesting next step in this whole thing. But, you know, as far as the President's Cup goes, I mean, regardless of whether everybody can play or not, the U.S. should be a massive favorite. I really like them at minus 400, minus 500, which is where I was seeing it a month ago or so. But I think it's up to like, was it like minus 800, minus 900? I just can't put up enough money for it to be worth the potential risk at like a minus 900.
Now, I'm also seeing that your Mariners in the Major League in baseball are in a hell of a battle with two clubs from the American League East, Toronto and Tampa Bay, for the wild card spots there in the American League. How do you feel about your Mariners and how that will play out?
Well, the good news for the Mariners and...
Sounds like we've just lost Dick there for the moment, so we'll try and get him back to get his take on his Mariners and also get his best bet for the NFL for week three. He's going to give us a best bet every week now, but Tampa Bay, Green Bay is certainly the big game. When you got Rodgers and Brady going against each other, you don't see it that much.
Well, they're Hall of Famers, aren't they?
Hall of Famers, no doubt about it. Sorry, Dick, we lost you there. Just on your Mariners.
Oh, you got me? Three playoff spots now instead of two. So I think all those teams can relax. They're all going to make the playoffs, Toronto and the Mariners and Tampa Bay. Which seed do you want, though? The four seed gets all three first-round games at home against the five seed. So that's definitely preferable over the five seed without question. I would argue maybe the six seed is the most preferable because of the road you get to take. The six seed you have to play on the road the first three games. But instead of playing one of those tough wild card teams, you get to play the Cleveland Guardians, who the Mariners have dispatched of twice over the last couple weeks. They're clearly a better team than Cleveland, and I think they'd be able to beat them on the road. Then you'd be able to take on the two seed, which is the Yankees. And I think most fans and most experts agree the Yankees are not the team the Astros are. So I'd almost prefer to get that last spot, go on the road, play Cleveland, and then play New York and not have to see Houston until the American League Championship Series.
Okay, give it to us. Your best bet for week three in the NFL.
Yeah, guys, you know what? I'm going to give you two. And I've been doing this on my show the first couple weeks. We're 2-0 thus far on the weeks, but I'm going to give you a two this week because I like them both. You know, I wasn't a huge believer in Cincinnati to begin the season. I had them missing the playoffs, but they're 0-2 and they're facing a must win game this week, and they're taking on a New York Jets team that, as you just mentioned, really had no business coming back and winning that game last week, so over Cleveland. So I really like Cincinnati -4.5 at the Jets. And then my other one is, you know, I still think the Indianapolis Colts are a playoff caliber roster. There's no way they should be 0-1-1 like they are. The Chiefs are flying high after that big win over the Chargers. So this is definitely not a public play. This is a quote-unquote sharp play. But give me the Colts +6.5. I've seen it at 7 as well against the Chiefs. So those are my two best bets of the week.
Oof. Jeez. Okay. Yeah. Not sure how Matt Ryan and Frank Reich's got to be under some pressure, won't they? If they don't win that division this year, you'd imagine he'd be under the pump big time, wouldn't you, Dick?
No question. And I'm taking desperate teams whose stocks have really dropped from where they were. And remember that the Colts at the beginning of the season were 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. And that was just 2 weeks ago. And so it's still a good team. It's still a good roster. And they are in a must-win type situation. So the Chiefs are sitting pretty. They know they're going to win their, you know, 11, 12 games. They know they're going to be in the playoffs. So the onus to win this game is far more on the Colts than it is on the Chiefs this week.
Thanks so much, as always, mate.
All right, boys, we'll talk to you next week.